How you doing, Ray?
Good, good.
I just wanted to introduce you to everybody watching.
Sure.
So I have Ray on today, the show, and I wanted you to give an introduction of who you are.
Sure. So basically, I'm a podcaster like yourself. I have a podcast called The Social Ray Podcast. I started that 4 years ago, and the mission behind that was to basically give hope to kind of younger kids who have a passion and they want to find their purpose in life, because that's the biggest thing for me was like, what's my purpose in life, right? And I feel like just going to school and getting a job and a degree, that wasn't enough for me to be like, okay, I'm content with that, right? And so seeing like my dad, he's a dentist, and he'd come home, he's so tired from work. I'm like, I just feel, not saying, I mean, he loves what he does now, but I'm just like, I want to live a life where I would fully enjoy every minute of it, right? And I think Steve Jobs said this too. He said, your work consists of a lot of your life. And if you're not doing what you love, then like work that you love, then you're kind of wasting your time. Like you got to find something that you love to do and make an impact before you leave this earth, you know? And so that kind of sounds very like thinking about death and all, but you have to think about death because you're like, I'm going to die one day.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the impact that I want to make? And so for me, it was like, I want to do these podcasts. I want to interview these amazing people and share their knowledge and their wisdom. So even after I die, like their wisdom, their legacy lives on, you know, through these podcasts. And so, yeah, that kind of got deep real quick. But, you know, I didn't start off with podcasting. I actually started off growing Instagram accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was, you know, I saw that people were making money from social media. I just saw people making money online. There's a guy I met. I didn't meet him, but I learned about him from online, called Pat Flynn. And he runs Smart Passive Income, which is a blog, and he kind of shows his income reports from how much he makes online from blogging. And I think he makes like 5 to 6 figures a month. And I was like, I don't know who this guy is, what he does, but like, I got to learn this because, you know, it's working, you know? And so, you know, why get a degree and study something I don't love to, you know, and get in debt, you know, to make money? Cause that's at the end of the day, that's what we need to do. We didn't make money, or else why are you going to school and why are you getting a degree, you know? And so, you know, that was a goal. And I started learning how to grow pages, how to go viral, how people are making money off of these theme pages, these fan pages.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you've seen a lot of those like luxury pages, you know, travel pages. Like I've run a lot of pages like those and bought and sold them. And so I kind of know the game pretty well because I've been doing it for 5 years. But now I'm transferring those skills to like personal brands and helping people grow their brand and to, you know, share their message with the world. And so, yeah. And then podcasting was like, you know, kind of came along the way. That's my passion. But, you know, how I make money is just through Instagram services and, you know, things like that.
It's a big shift over from I have written down you earned your bachelor's degree in biology.
Human bio, yeah.
Human bio over in Biola, correct? And
private Christian school.
So you decided not to go to med school after that.
So actually, I got into chiropractic school. So my uncle's a chiropractor, and I was like, dentistry is going to take too long. So I was just like, what's the quickest way to the money?
Yeah.
And it's going to be chiropractic, you know, at that point, because my uncle's successful in that. And so that was like a set path. But, you know, every time I'd go to class, I'd feel like, man, like I would dread it. Like I was like, I don't want to learn how to adjust people. I don't want to learn like C4, C5, like all these, like that's cool, but this isn't my passion, and this is not something I'd want to get into debt to learn to make money, you know. And so so I was in chiropractic school, but early on I was like, you know, even in college I was trying to figure out what's my path in life, what I want to do. So I was a human bio major, but I took accounting classes, I took marketing classes, I took a comp sci class, and I was like, this for sure is not it, you know. So I just had to like figure out for myself what's my path in life, you know, because school's not going to teach you like all those majors in school. That's not what life is, right? It's like what those options that school gives you, that's not, you know, the path for your whole entire life, right? But people think, okay, I'm gonna be a doctor, that's what I'm gonna be for the rest of my life. No, you could have other passions and things come up, right? And so you know, I was in chiropractic school. Some people say that's not med school. So I totally understand.
No, it is. You still get a doctor after you graduate.
Well, but there's like a whole debate between like doctors and chiropractors. Like, but anyways, it sounds better saying med school. But so I left early on, and then I figured out, okay, let me figure out social media. And since then, I've learned a lot. And self-education is definitely the way to go, not just schooling. Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree. Yeah. I just finished up grad school and I'm still paying student loans. And I'm just like, I'm not sure if I learned that much. I just felt like it was, I don't want to say it was a waste of time and resources, but I don't feel like it has been, it's going to cover what I want to accomplish going forward in the future. So I wanted to ask, so human bio is a very, I don't want to state the obvious, but why did you fall into to selecting human bio?
Yeah, so my dad, it's not just because I'm Asian, but obviously.
I was going to say that. I just didn't want to say it, like, assume.
The doctoral path. I mean, it is kind of that, too, because my dad is a dentist and my mom, she does herbal acupuncture and herbal medicine and acupuncture. So I was like, okay, my parents are doing it, so I guess this is my path in life. And, you know, a lot of times that's kind of how people live their life, like by default. And they think, oh, just because my parents did, you know, has this business, I'm destined to do that and take over that, right? And, you know, back then that was the case when they were like kings and like peasants and you had no choice in like moving up the social hierarchy and things like that. But nowadays, you could, you know, someone who was broke can become a millionaire like almost like over, not overnight, but like with hard work and work. There's people I've interviewed there in their early 20s and they made millions from dropshipping, you know, from building brands online. And so like never in history was there a time when young kids or young people, you know, can make so much money so quick. And Jeff Bezos, you know, he founded Amazon, but if you count like his net worth, people say even if he made $10,000 a day since the birth of Christ or since the death of Christ, like that's how much you need to make, you know, to be as rich as he is. And so, you know, technology, social media has opened up a whole new arena and people are realizing, man, this is, you know, this is a great way to learn how to make money, not just which school does not teach you. So
I wanted to touch on your Instagram page. So you have 96,000 followers on Instagram, like last I checked. So I think it could be higher, right? And that's a lot. And I wanted to ask, like, how does that happen?
Like, okay.
Yeah, 96,000. And then we should also say what your Instagram username is right now before we get into how you got 96,000.
Sure, yeah.
Followers.
It's just ray.on, ray.ahn. And so how it got started was so like I said, I started learning how to grow pages and go viral. And this was before the algorithm changes, right? And so I would post something and I would be a content curator. So I would curate content in different niches. So the first page I grew was a motivation account called The Motivation Team because I wanted to inspire people, be their best self. And I sold that to someone who wanted to brand it as their own page. You know, so there's like buying and selling of accounts that go on, which I had no idea at the time either. Some people might be like, wow, that's crazy. Like, but there's YouTube accounts for sale on certain sites and on, you know, like Instagram accounts you could buy and rebrand it as your own. So some companies do that. How I grew my pages was, I grew it, that page, and then I sold it. And then I bought a luxury page that was like 100K. Mm. I bought it for like $3,000. And then, you know, to give a ballpark, people are like, how much is that? But it depends on like the engagement, the niche and all of that. And so I started building like, you know, travel pages and just fashion pages and just experimenting like different niches and how to go viral, right? And so the way I went viral was, you know, I would pick the most engaging posts, right? The things that show up on the explore feed. Mm-hmm. And then I would have a power likes, which are basically when you have likes from a lot of big accounts to like that post. It's the best if you have pages in that niche liking that. So for example, if you're growing a luxury page, it's good to have big luxury pages like your post because then it gets showed to their audience and to more and more. It's like a snowball effect, right? And so, you know, we were growth hacking Instagram and the most I grew was like 100K followers, real followers in a month. And so, you know, back then growth was insane. Yeah. I'd be posting multiple times a day. But nowadays growth is so much harder. So, you know, people can't grow just even going viral. I have a post that I reposted on my account. It got like 1 million views.
Yeah.
It's about this, you know, guy who infiltrated the KKK. He's an African-American man who did it. But, you know, that story is basically him infiltrating into the Klan and interviewing one of the Klansmen and telling him, how could you hate me when you don't even know me, right? And it's just this preconceived bias. And so that post got 1 million views and over 1,000 comments. But back then when I got a million views, I'd get like thousands of followers. Now it's like maybe a couple hundred.
Yeah.
So it's just definitely not the same reach, and Instagram's not revealing it to as many people.
When you say back in the day, is that 2017?
Yeah, so before the algorithm change, like, I mean, it's always changing, but I would say maybe 2016.
One of my questions I want to ask you is it still possible to grow a following organically?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely possible if you're if you have good content that's shareable.
Yeah.
So if you're posting like a lot of value giving content and people are sharing it, then that's a great way for people to find out about you. You know, and it's definitely possible to grow organically, but not as fast as before, unless you're paying for shout outs or getting shout out networks to, you know, blow you up and stuff like that. You know, the cool thing about having a network or having a large network of pages is you could leverage that to grow your accounts. And so, you know, people who, you know, might not have that, you know, access to that, they can just post organically for years and never get to 10K. But, you know, with us, we can grow people to 10K in a couple of days. And these are all real followers from US because we have a way of just getting like, you know, getting a bunch of followers for people using our strategies. But, you know, they're from the gaming memeing niche because they're the easiest to leverage and have them follow you.
Yeah.
Giveaways are another way people grow, but the drop off rate is huge for that.
What's a popular giveaway?
iPhones, obviously, iPhone giveaways. You know, things. Yeah, iPhones are always popular.
So iPhone 12.
Yeah, iPhone 12, the new one, or like, you know, MacBook, or that's pretty expensive. But AirPods were doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these giveaways are scams, right? They promise it, they never do it. So you gotta, you know, you wanna work with the right people. So there's different ones, right, for travel, for entrepreneurs and things like that. So
yeah, we're not at the point where we can give away iPhones on the show yet, but I hope we get there one day.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but I guess the best way to explain what you do for work is it's Growth Hacker. Is that the job title that you do?
Yeah, so there's like really no title because it's not like taught in school. It's like what I do, what I make money from is growing people on Instagram. And, you know, we even have services like verification, getting press, all these things that I learned on the internet, you know, not from anybody. And so a lot of it is kind of like seems like underground kind of work. But, you know, I have access to press, people to get people onto Forbes, Entrepreneur. You know, I know ways for people to get verified. I know ways to grow people. So all these things are, I guess, you call it, growth hacker. Yeah. And just, you know, just overall just online guy who, like, can do a bunch of different things. So there's not one title, but definitely a lot of different services. Yeah.
I saw your Yahoo Finance article, and the other publication was Future Sharks.
Yeah.
I think they wrote about kind of your change of career after university. I suggest anybody that's watching is definitely worth reading that article. I wanted to talk about something going viral. So whether it's a post, it's a video, how many hits or views does that require?
So like the algorithm, how it works is they show it to your, you know, followers.
Yeah.
And then based on how they interact and, you know, like and comment and share, they'll show it to a greater group of followers. So it's kind of the same how Facebook algorithm works and TikTok, but there are, you know, ways that you can boost that engagement. It's not artificial because they are real people, but basically getting them to boost it so you have more of a chance for it to be seen by more people, you know. And so there are services like that out there still, even though it's you know, hard to find now. But yeah, there are things like that out there.
Is it safe to say that some of the videos that go viral are on purpose?
Like, you mean like, was it intentionally made to go viral?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's, especially nowadays, people are like, what makes something go viral?
Mm-hmm.
They try to make that. And then the way it goes viral though, is by getting a lot of accounts to like it and share it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't know if you've heard of the world record egg. There was, something called the world record egg. And basically it's just a picture of an egg, and you guys can, it's like Joe Rogan, like, if he can pull it up.
Is it possible to pull up?
Sure.
I mean, you can Google it, world record egg. Yeah. And so basically this was an experiment. They're saying, let's see if this egg, you know, Kylie Jenner has the most most likes.
Yeah.
Let's see if this egg can get the most likes. So why should she get the most likes, you know? And so the cool thing was there are a lot of big accounts backing this egg, you know? And so they were telling people, share this on your story. This is a cool movement. You know, we're going to get this egg to blow up. And it sounded ridiculous, but the crazy thing is this egg now is at, I think, tens of millions of followers. So, yeah, you could see this, the world record egg. People, like big accounts, you know, big celebrities were like, okay, let's see how crazy this world record egg can get. And it got, like, so many shares. A lot of these by young kids, right? And it got 12 million likes. And it surpassed the most likes on Instagram. So it surpassed Kylie Jenner's most liked photo. And this is a perfect example of something intentionally viral, you know, which is like, how do you make this go viral? You get a big people supporting you and sharing it and have a mission behind it, which sounds stupid, honestly, like, let's just get this like the most likes. But later on, you know, Hulu, you know, came out with this, and what this was for mental health awareness. Yeah. And so if you look at the Instagram account, you could pull up the Instagram account as well.
So this was like the ultimate troll move.
It's like a super troll move, but at the end of the day, it was to promote a good cause, which is mental health awareness. And Hulu actually was behind it. So I don't know who were the organizers behind this, but this is like a perfect example of like, man, this egg got 5 million, you know, followers.
Wow.
And, you know, like if you kind of scroll down, you could look through, you know, what kind of go way back down. I don't know if you could go all the way down, but it was just a picture of an egg. And then, you know, other people started trying to do it. They just tried doing like of an eggplant or of like a potato, but didn't go viral because they didn't have, you know, big accounts backing it up, right? And so that's what I mean by shout out network. And so you can click on it and see like the captions, whatnot, but you could see that let's set a world record together, get the most liked posts on Instagram, being the current world record held by Kylie Jenner, 18 million, we got this. So, you know, and look at 55 million. And like, these are all kids on Instagram just liking it, you know, and sharing it on their story. So that's another hack, you know, getting something shared on your story and getting people to do that. That's a great way to get exposure on Instagram. And that's what they did for this egg. And you kind of go up and see what it's about. And you see that if you exit this and you go up, you'll see that, hey, this was actually something sponsored by Hulu. Maybe they bought it out, I'm not sure. But yeah, if you look at the content, like scroll down on the content, you see that I really need a break from social media. So it's kind of, you could check it out and see for yourself, like, okay, this is sounds stupid, but I mean, they made it work, right? So this is a perfect example of something went intentionally viral.
Wait, so what counts as a shadow network? Can you elaborate a bit more on that?
Yeah, so basically a network of pages that will, you know, shout you out. So some people create it on their own. They DM pages, hey, what are your shout out rates? And then you can make an Excel sheet of all the pages in your niche and then see, you know, how much can I pay them to sponsor my post, right? And so I know a friend, friend of mine, Zach Benson, he actually leveraged that to travel around the world for free. So he would travel, you know, 5-star hotels and be, hey, we have this network of travel accounts, and he actually, it wasn't his, he would just pay them, but we could get you sponsored on these millions of followers, and just give me like a week stay for free, and I'll teach you Instagram. So he leveraged that, even though those weren't his accounts, to stay at these 5-star luxury hotels and help them with their Instagram. And he's doing really well for himself, you know, let me just say that. And you know, I showed him a little bit of things on Instagram, but he's definitely taking it farther on his own. So
yeah, after cool. I usually, before I get a guest on the show, I usually kind of research them for at least a day or two prior to going on air. And I think I did develop a new appreciation for the type of work you do and influencers and people in social media do for a living. I will never make fun of the job title of social media manager anymore, because I know how much time, effort, and energy goes into just managing your day to day, and that's just one account.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference between what I do and a regular social media manager, because you know, what I do is I've grown pages to millions of followers, you know, and social media managers, they're just kind of there to post and they don't really know how it works. You know,
it's a lot of like administrative, like admin work.
Yeah. It's mostly just like, hey, like just post for me every week. And it's like, cool. That's a manager, but I'm not just a manager. Like I grow pages and I know the ins and outs of, you know, the Instagram, you know, not algorithm. I don't know everything, but I definitely have more knowledge than most social media managers. Right. And so it's just a different level of knowledge, right. To know. Yeah.
I definitely see it differently.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you,
it's not the same.
Yeah. We kind of elaborated off like hashtags and geolocation. Is that a thing?
A geolocation is really, important if you want to get seen by more people in your area. So yeah, that's a great thing to use. And so a lot of people forget to use it, but it's a great, you know, tip to use to get seen by more people in your niche.
So for an example, if you want to increase followers in Southern California,
sure.
How would you go about that?
Then you would geotag. You could geotag SoCal, Southern California, or just California, but that's so generic. I would geotag specific cities or areas that you think, you know, people would be interested in your podcast, for example, or for what you do. If it's a store like a cafe, you know, you could geotag that city or that area, you know, that you're located in, and that gets seen by more people. So that's another strategy. So yeah, the geotagging works. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I was the webinar that you sent me.
Yeah.
I did go through it. And then one very interesting thing about hashtags, and this is the last I'll talk about it before we move forward, is the two words. It's not just, you know, hashtag Los Angeles, right? Or like if you hashtag Los Angeles, like resident or like, so two word combinations, does that get to a different demographic?
Well, I mean, it's just if it's just like a one word hashtag, it's probably super saturated. So,
or like fitness trainer, like fitness, and you put fitness trainer together.
Yeah, fitness trainer, or like OC fitness trainer. That's super specific. It's kind of like, you know, for SEO, right? You know, for SEO, you don't want to just target the super hard to target words, right? You want to target long tail keywords. You know, if you know what that is, and so that's kind of the same concept, right? And so, if you're just targeting fitness, like to rank for that on SEO on Google, it's so hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you type like fitness trainers in OC, that's super specific. And so it's kind of like, you got to see that as like an SEO hack to do on Instagram.
Yeah. And I just want to, the acronym stands for search engine optimization.
Yeah, SEO. Exactly. Because okay, Instagram has their own search engine optimization as well, just like Google.
Yeah.
So,
it's really interesting. Like even just like playing with the SEO, I think that's probably the best word I can use. Like you don't really know. You're not a supercomputer. You can't equate like the equations and the algorithm. That you're just like, what plays? You throw something on the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are paying for followers now, right? So we talked about the Shadow Network. Is the future of like Instagram, YouTube, all these other social media, future TikTok, to be famous or successful, are they going to have to start paying money for posts and for likes, and or is am I business, like, are they really doing that?
I mean, the really good people who are making original content and is going viral naturally, those guys, like good content creators who have really good content, it gets shared organically, they will keep growing, although not as fast as before. But people who are not, you know, posting that kind of content, for example, you know, not a lot of, like, I do post viral things here and there, but the way I grew a following was, well, yeah, going viral at first, but, you know, getting shout outs and using these shout out networks. And so for someone who's like, man, how do I get more attention, and their posts are not getting, you know, that much exposure, it's like, well, obviously work on your content, but also utilize these networks to help grow you, to get more exposure.
Okay. That's eye opening for me. Yeah. And please tell me more about being a social media marketing coach.
Sure.
For Ty Lopez.
Yeah. So how that came about was, so I grew, you know, over a couple million followers. And at that time, I was able to show his team, hey, like I have things I could teach you guys, because I look at my pages, like I could teach something on your course. And I never actually met Ty, but I met his team, and they were like, okay, yeah, sure, come on and teach. And so it's just reaching out, and they're like, yeah, come to the office, we'll see what you have. And I shared some tools, and some guy made a video about me, like sharing some tools that I made. Some of those tools are obsolete, but you know, I shared what I knew, a little bit of it, and I get to say I taught in his course, which is true. I'm in the bonus section, so yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, so I wrote it down. So yeah. Social media marketing agency MMA coach for Tai Lopez.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about him, or it's just like a memory. I think he was like the very first guy on Instagram that I just remember as the person that became famous. He was always like, do you guys like books?
Yeah.
You like books? And then he's like, look at the new Lamborghini that I bought. And I just, every time, like I try to skip ad, but it's Tai Lopez that shows up every time. So I'm happy where he is now. It's like, you can't be jealous or you can't hate the guy. Like, he worked hard to get where he's at. And I think now he's doing something in real estate, right?
He's buying brands and turning them into e-commerce stores, especially the ones that are like failing, especially because of the pandemic. He's a genius in doing that, because imagine, like, they're already an established brand, they just don't know how to take it online, and if you could do that, then they'll crush it, you know. And just that one missing gap. It's kind of like Blockbuster could have killed it if they learned how to stream, but they didn't, and so now they're dead and Netflix is taking over. It's just, sometimes I don't understand why these companies with so much money, they don't just hire people to take them online, because they have the money. Like, why don't you innovate and grow, you know?
It's evolve or die.
Oh, yeah, for Tai?
Oh, no, it's evolve or die, just in anything, in business, in life.
Yeah, exactly. You got to always be learning and adapting. And so that's why it's so hard to survive on social media, because it's always changing. But yeah, for Tai as well, you know, people hate on him because of the Lambo and the young girls. They're like, dude, like, how old are you? Why are you with these, like, Tony heroes? But, you know, like, the thing is, he's capturing attention, right? And so same thing with Gary Vee. They're like, you got to capture attention. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, that's why they grew from meme pages. Like, they didn't. People all the time on Instagram, they're like, man, I want to grow with just targeted just to make money. But you don't understand. You don't make the real money until you actually have people watching you, you know? And so Gary Vee and Tai, do you think they grew with all super targeted entrepreneurs? No, they grew from meme pages, like the same method that, you know, I'm growing people now. They grew that way. And now that they have the eyeballs, they're the authority, right? And so people are so picky and like, oh, like, it's just hard to work with them because they don't understand. They don't understand, hey, like, you just need to grow with real people and post good content. Then you'll get noticed. Like, if you just are in it for the money and you're not thinking long term for your brand, then sure, just throw it at Facebook ads, throw it at other stuff. But if you want to build a long term brand that's going to stay and people will recognize you as authority, then you got to invest into your growth and grow at least 100,000 followers, you know what I mean? Like, something like that. And so yeah, it's just different. I guess I just have to explain it better for people to understand, but that's if they want to make, you know, the real money and like be known, you know, among people.
I'm just waiting for Gary Vee to buy the New York Jets.
Oh yeah.
I'm waiting for that day, because he always talks about it. I listen to his podcast. I have one of his books, and he's always like, that's my end goal. That's my motivation. Sure. And I'm just waiting for him to buy it. And then I'll sit back and I'll smile when he does. But Ray, it seems like mentors are something that you are very high on.
Actually, it actually wasn't for me, because growing up, I didn't have a lot of people to look up to. So actually, I just was doing the work. I was just doing the growth. I was learning as I was doing it. And I didn't look up to anyone. I was just kind of like, I just got to learn this on my own. Kind of like, you know, Randall Pitch, you know him, you know, from the podcast, he was the same way. I just learned by doing it, by growing pages. And that's how I got to where I am. But now I realize, hey, I do need mentorship. I do need people who could coach me. And so I invested in a mastermind, you know, recently. And that's why I want to get into coaching as well, because people do need coaches, especially if they want to cut the learning curve.
I listened to, I clarify, I think I met him once at the Fitness Expo, Randall. And then I listened to the podcast you had with him last night. I do my best to have an overview of what you are, because this is the first time actually meeting you.
Sure.
I think we only spoke over the phone and texted back and forth. So
yeah.
No, I appreciate you.
Power of social media. Yeah.
Yeah, coming all the way from Buena Park, right?
Yeah, Buena Park. Yeah.
It's interesting because the last three guests I knew personally. So sure. This is the, I guess a stranger is probably the best way to, we were strangers, sure. And then yeah, the power much. Of social media.
Yeah, or through the network of the on Asian Hustle Network.
Yeah, and yeah. And now we're here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And
it's crazy.
To expand on the Social Ray podcast, so stories of entrepreneurs and influencers, guests such as Randall Pitch from Live Fit, Thrive co-founder Cole Hatter. Tell me how that podcast came to be.
So how I started the podcast. Yeah. So initially I just want to interview people who are big on social media because I had that network, mm-hmm. because I was already, I grew pages on there. And so, you know, I got people who had, you know, millions of followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, and I was interviewing them. But then I got into, just through reaching out on social, I got into, just being able to network with people who blew up their business using social media. And so yeah. Randall definitely used social media for that. Cole Hatter, not so much. He's just in real estate. But but yeah, you know, basically it was a social media podcast to teach people on social media, how to use it. But it came into becoming more about their stories and how they came up from nothing to where they are today. So that was really cool.
Your most recent guest was a sales trainer.
So yeah, he's pretty much a sales trainer.
His name was Myron Golden.
Myron
Golden.
Yes, and he's teaching people how to sell on stage. He has a 55K program and a $1 million program, but like he makes his clients double or triple that. And so, he's a beast when it comes to sales, especially, on stage sales. And, one thing he said, make more offers, make better offers and present it to more people. And that's his strategy of how to make more money basically. He's a beast. He started from picking up trash and, working as a trash man. getting into network marketing. He couldn't do sales for like years, right? And then he couldn't do sales for a couple of years. And then he got into selling cars, buying them for $50, selling them for $350. I was like, I didn't know you could buy cars for $50 back then, but I guess that was a thing. And then so he had very humble roots, but now he's making what, like 55K a pop, mm-hmm. a million a pop. Like, it's pretty crazy.
How do you balance everything you have going on?
Yeah, so since I'm just working from home and just taking calls and things like that, and I'm pretty much doing everything on my own, like the podcast and all that.
Yeah,
I just wake up and I'm like, what do I have to do today? And I just start from there and take calls as they come. Mm-hmm. It's not as organized as structured as it should be, I guess. But I'm, I think, like I said, I'm a human bio major. I'm not like someone who learned business in school. So I'm just figuring it out as I go.
Yeah.
Even like sales and marketing, all of those things. So it's kind of like taking it day by day almost, which sounds kind of crazy. But and just seeing like what calls do I have for the day? What do I need? I need to get out a podcast a week. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's like if I don't want to get up and do anything, then nothing's going to get done. So it's just kind of all on you. And that's the scary thing about entrepreneurship. People are like, man, I like having a stable paycheck each mm-hmm. week or every other week. But the thing is, based on how hard you work is how hard you get paid, right? And how hard you put that to use and give value to other people. And so I'm not like in a rush. Some people might be. Entrepreneurship's not for everyone, especially if they're like, man, I didn't make money, today. Because some people are like, man, if you don't make money today, then obviously you have bills to pay, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's days I don't make a sale and, I don't have something that I sell, but there's something that I learn and something that, there's a podcast I get on.
Yeah.
And, even if I'm not getting paid for it, like I'm putting out value into the world and that's going to come back in some form or way. So that's a different mindset entrepreneurs have for sure.
You're averaging how many episodes? You said one a week? You try to shoot for that?
Yeah, that's a goal. But even that, since it's just a team of myself, like there are times I had breaks. But yeah, that's the goal.
I know. I'm sorry. When it comes to reward, you find this very rewarding as a career.
Yeah, because when people are able to share something and it's something that you could share and it's evergreen, like it'll be there forever. That's kind of like your legacy that you leave behind, you know, for people who, I'm not saying performing services, like being a dentist, whatnot, that's not leaving a legacy, but you're putting a piece of content that can influence someone's thoughts. And when you can influence someone's thoughts, then you can influence, you know, the trajectory of their life, right? And so the goal is to impact more people through the podcast and to give them like hope and a new direction in life, right? If that's what they're looking for. And so that's what it's about.
Yeah, when we first reached out to each other, I thought it was a good fit because I saw what you had going on with the podcast, and it just makes sense for two people, like more podcasters, to come up to come together and to build that network. And when it comes to your dream interview, is there any one guest that you would just love to have on the show?
Yeah, I mean, definitely like Gary Vee or even Joe Rogan. I don't think he's ever been interviewed himself.
No.
But a dream interview, there's a rapper, Lecrae. He's a Christian rapper. Mm-hmm. And then he influenced me a lot when I was young. There's so many other people, like Richard Branson, he'd be a cool person. You know, Elon Musk.
Sir Richard Branson. Elon would be awesome too.
Yeah, Elon Musk, like these crazy guys you think are like out of reach, but you realize, hey, they're just human, and they're, you know, Tony Robbins, you know, these guys. It'd be cool, to do that. It's just, you know, getting it to a place where that could be possible and working my way there, you know?
Yeah. So, how do you currently find your guests?
A lot of it is I take it kind of week by week. So I don't kind of pre-plan all my podcasts for the whole month. I kind of see, okay, who's someone that I want to learn from and see what they have to offer. And not just that, but like maybe I could give value to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I pick based on where I'm at and what I want to learn. I know some people have their podcast booked for like 3 months, but I'm like, that kind of, it seems not stale, but kind of like it's fresh if it's like a new person each week, you know. But that, and just based on whoever I come across is like, man, I want to get to know this person, hear their story, and share it on my podcast.
I want to hear about your experience too. In my experience, I'm surprised how receptive people are to the idea. Like people that I never in a million years would be like, oh, you're going to invest, you know, an hour to 2 hours here today to drive here, talk for an hour, and then drive to work or what have you. But they're like, yeah, I'd love to come down. How was your experience like?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, some people would be like, let's just do a Zoom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is also something, if I could support someone else in their podcast journey, that'd be like something great that I could offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always cool to, I think people love, the cool thing about podcasts, people love to share their story and about themselves. So they're willing to do that. I don't think most people would be willing to drive an hour and back, you know, but this was also to kind of get to know each other as well, because I'm sure there can be synergy in the future for some other things. But I think if people see the value in it, they want to share their story. The crazy thing is most people are never asked, what's your story, right? And so the fact that someone asked them to be on a podcast, they're just like, wow, okay, like, cool. Like, no one's asked me to share my story before. And sure, I'd love to do that, you know, so.
I absolutely agree, because sometimes you just don't know. You only see this person on social media or in the movies, and you don't really know what they think. Do you listen to Tim Ferriss?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, listen to a bit.
Yeah,
Tim Ferriss.
I heard Hugh Jackman's interview and Jamie Foxx's, and these are like A-listers that I don't really see them outside of movies. Like they do interviews. But it's usually just press for the new movie that's coming out or what have you. But it's just interesting to get the access to how they think for an hour or two.
Yeah. It's kind of insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope we can continue doing this going forward.
Sure.
I have just about another question or two before we wrap this up. Mm-hmm. When it comes to selecting your partnerships and sponsorships, like when do you know it's a good fit?
So I use actually a tool called anchor.fm. And mm-hmm. so they're a free podcasting tool, and they let you sponsor as soon as you start.
Yeah.
So based on how many listens you get. So I mean, it's just a matter of like, are they in alignment with your brand, with what they want to share with your audience? And based on that, you could see if they're a good fit, right? And I would say, obviously, they don't want to sponsor you until you're at like hundreds of thousands of downloads, whatnot. But I would say that it's, you could do it even starting out, like with Anchor. You could, you know, sponsor Anchor, and they could, you know, pay you for the listens that they get for that ad.
I think Anchor is super user friendly.
Anchor
start, yeah.
Yeah, Anchor is user friendly. Yeah, super easy to use as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, anybody who wants to start a podcast out, it's really easy. You do like a 30-second promo in the beginning.
Yeah, super short promo, and yeah. just get paid per listens or downloads.
Yeah, just upload it, and you got a podcast. So
yeah, exactly.
And for listeners that want to see dollar signs, which form of social media do you recommend them to use?
In terms of like how, like where they want to make money,
just
like
the most which, money, just if they're coming straight from a financial perspective.
Sure. I mean, Instagram, I don't know if you saw their new layout, but basically they have a layout where it's like TikTok in the middle, yeah. but then they have stores right next to it. So you can buy products from them too.
Yeah.
So they have it so that, so they're making it very friendly for e-commerce brands and businesses. So I would say Instagram is great for that. And Facebook too. Some people get leads for Facebook if they're coaches.
Yeah.
But Instagram is definitely growing bigger. And I think they're the most innovative right now compared to other platforms.
Yeah. So Instagram and YouTube is my preferred outlets.
Sure.
Those are my top two. I'm very unfamiliar with TikTok. What's that future outlook for them? Look like
for TikTok?
Yeah.
I mean, they were blowing up, you know, but they got sold to a U.S. company, right? Because Donald Trump. Uh-huh. And I would say that TikTok, unless they innovate, then they're not, it's going to be hard for them to, I mean, I think they'll still have a lot of users, but they're releasing free ads now too for businesses. So yeah. people can utilize that, them for ads. So TikTok is good as well if you want to start advertising as a business, but creating content might be a little more difficult because Instagram is more, you could just post pictures, videos, and reels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more diverse for Instagram.
Yeah, there's so much like apps to use. It can be overwhelming sometimes. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you what the long-term plan for you is in this space.
Yeah, so definitely to keep the podcast going, but also to help personal brands build an influence and develop coaching,
mm-hmm.
help coach people on how to build a personal brand, how to get more views and listeners for their podcast. And so I guess going into the coaching route is where I'm looking right now. And so as well as podcasting yeah. and getting that content out.
Have you consulted or have you considered consulting for businesses?
Yeah, I've never actually gone out to do that, but definitely that's something that I could do just because I have a lot of experience in it. And so, yeah, that's definitely an avenue that's I haven't explored as much, but could do.
We'll bring it up after the show. Like I have someone that might be interested in your services.
Okay.
We'll talk after. Sure. And last but not least, takeaway. I don't run any commercials or sponsors on the podcast yet.
No.
I haven't found any that have really aligned with me.
Sure.
But I do want to talk about your water bottle.
Oh, the water bottle?
Yeah, yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, Liberty, North Korea. I'm not North Korean, by the way, but, you know, I think my grandma and stuff, like during the war, I think they did flee
mm-hmm.
from there. And so Link is an organization that they actually help, you know, people escape from North Korea because North Korea is it's still communist and mm-hmm. there's still not as much opportunity for people there. You know, there's concentration camps and whatnot still yeah. there. But, you know, people flee actually from North Korea to you know, China, but sometimes they get trafficked or they get sent back mm-hmm. as well. But there's not a lot of organizations that I know of except Link that actually, you know, dedicates their time and money to help them out. So, yeah, that's what this water bottle is for. I went to their office and, you know, bought some merchandise as well. But, yeah, this is a good cause to support, especially mm-hmm. because, you know, North and South Korea has been divided so long, and it's still one of the few communist countries left with you know, very poor quality of living for people. So it's a really good cause to support. And you know, at Biola too, we had like a missions, you know, it's called Missions Week or something, and then we had to reenact what people go through in North Korea, and some of them would lose their family members trying to escape, or their family would still be there, but they would escape. And so it's just like almost, not like Nazi Germany, but kind of, it's almost like that. And that's still going on today, where, you know, families are separated, they're still living in, you know, horrible conditions. And it's like, yeah, that's still going on today. So it's important that people know about it, at least. And, have awareness for that.
I think if we could shed light on anything, like, I would love to make any difference in any way I can, no matter how small. I wanted you to leave people with how to contact you.
Sure.
Instagram, your anchor, your YouTube channel. Give us all that, and I'll post it on the link below too, of the YouTube description.
Okay.
Yeah.
My Instagram is ray.on, A-H-N, and then my podcast is Social Ray Podcast. You can find it on Anchor and iTunes, Spotify, and what was last? They can contact me on Instagram.
Yeah. Also, your YouTube page.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah. So Social Ray channel. That's pretty new, starting out. So, yeah, so that's something that I have going on.
I will subscribe to that show.
Sure.
If you subscribe here.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, yeah. Of course. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing that channel blow up, because I saw some videos and I think the content is great, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But hey, Ray, I wanted to thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Yeah.
I know we just met, but I appreciate the knowledge that you can give to us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Very much so. So again, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me.